Our scripture this morning is, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Let's say that together. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Being able to see God changes our lives. Amen. I know there's been times in my life that I have prayed for His will, which if you've prayed for His will, you know that you are seeking to see God. You're seeking to see what His desires are for your life. And when you finally pray through and you see God, changes our lives. Amen? When you've got a situation in your life that's bigger than you are, and you're praying and you're seeking Him, and He shows up and He delivers, and you're seeing God, it changes your life, doesn't it? Praise His name. So, on the front of your bulletin cover, this is a great conversation topic as you hand your bulletins out. Just one bulletin, or maybe two if you want to take some more. Just would you pray about handing them out? I tell you, I want to thank Mark. All of us want to thank Mark for this is like magazine quality bulletin, and the money that he spends on color and ink and paper, thank you, Mark. It's worthy of us putting it out there. Amen. We want to thank you, those who are watching online this morning and participating. You're doing more than watching. You are participating in the service, and we want to welcome you and thank you for logging on this morning and clicking the live stream and being a part of Living Well wherever you are. How many of you wear corrective vision? I can't always tell if you're wearing contacts or not, but I have worn glasses since I was probably, what, Mom, third grade? And man, you remember, those of you who've worn corrective glasses, I wear, you remember the first time you put them on? I remember walking out of the eye doctor, and I had my glasses on, and I remember looking out at this beautiful sunny day in Freeport, and I could see across the parking lot, I could see individual leaves on the trees. And I was like, really? It's possible to see those? I was like amazed because my vision had cleared. I was able to see what reality was. I was able to see what was really there that had been obscured, and I didn't even know it. Purity, like corrective lenses, purifies our vision of God. We're able to remove the clutter, able to remove the dirt, and able to see what really, really is. There at the barber shop, I have opportunity every day to remove gentlemen's glasses and put them on my back bar. And I'll tell you, some of the glasses that I take off, I look at them and I'm thinking, how do you see out of these things? And I want to offer this, you know, lens cleaning service, but I don't want to offend anybody because some of them are really bad. It's like, and after they get their hair cut, I'm like, do you really want me to put these back on? Because how do you see out of them? Purity originates with God. Purity originates with God, and because He is pure, He is able to give it to us. Amen? Isn't that a wonderful gift? He can give what is impure. He can make an impure heart pure again. No matter what has happened in the past, no matter what sins an individual has committed, we can be pure through the power of God and in His eyes. Amen? I would like to invite you to do a personal inventory this morning and just ask the Lord to see, to tell you how He sees your heart today. Is it cluttered with some things that need to be cleaned up? Or are you seeing God for who He is today in His fullness and in His holiness? I'll tell you, when you do that, life is not the same. Everything sparkles. Amen. Everything is bright. Everything takes on clarity. It doesn't mean it's be easy, but it does mean you'll be able to see where you're going. Amen? Because you're walking in the light as He is in the light, and you have fellowship with each other. And life is fun. It's hard sometimes, but it's fun, and it's worth living. Amen? Purity has to do with our choices too. Not only is it what God does in us, and it's only possible through Him, but we have to follow through on that. Amen? He gives us instructions on how to live pure. He says, this is the way, walk in it. And if when we could ignore that and say, well, I'm not going to do that, and immediately we begin to get inundated with junk, and our eyesight, our ability to see God begins to cloud over, and we're like, man, how did I get out here? I didn't, you know, life is just not as bright and sparkly as it was. That's when we need to clear our vision and see God, amen? That's what this scripture is about this morning. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Let's say that together. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Do you want to see God this morning? I want to tell you, it'll change your life. It's not like you're going to walk outside and He's going to part the clouds. You're going to see His face. Oh, not exactly, but you will in your heart have a realization and a revelation that will happen. And as you ask Him to show you His will and His face and His hand, He will. He is faithful because He wants the best for us. Amen. He doesn't want us walking in darkness, walking a lie, and living something that we were not created to live. He has a plan for us. And part of that plan is seeing Him and following Him. Didn't it feel good to be in the Word this morning? Man. Holiness and purity. There is an undeniable link. There's an undissolvable tie between holiness and purity. Because you see, for God to make us pure produces a holy lifestyle. When God makes us pure, it produces a holiness of lifestyle. And I know that word may seem out of date and old-fashioned, but we're only a little blip in the timeline, right? Throughout all of the centuries, God has called His people to holiness. And instead of saying that's an old-fashioned word, maybe we ought to correct our thinking. Amen? And say, Lord, what do You have in there for me? If You're asking me to live holy, what does it mean for me? And is it even possible? Throughout the Old Testament, God calls His people to be holy. Abby, it's so good to see you. We've missed you. Throughout the Old Testament, God has called His people to be holy. He's called through the promise of God through Abraham, He has called the entire world to holiness. First with the Jews and then us, the Gentiles. And then the theme is continued throughout the New Testament. Be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. Jesus even said, be perfect as your heavenly Father's perfect. These are not terms of hyperbole that Jesus throws out there for shock value. These are things that Jesus has for us in His will. You see, a lot of casual Christianity would say, well, that's not possible. It's a nice thing that Jesus said, but surely it's not for me. I want to tell you that it is. It may not be how you're thinking that it is, because we're still human. We still make mistakes. But Jesus has a plan for us, and it includes holiness and walking in purity. Amen? Whew. Well, here it is. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Without holiness, no man will see the Lord. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy, because without holiness, you're not going to see Him. You're not only going to see Him for eternity, you're just not even going to see Him here and now. Friends, purity is important because it cleanses our vision. It cleans our heart, and we're able to see God, glimpses of Him, and full gazes as we walk in purity. Deuteronomy and Leviticus in the Old Testament, man, they're just full of references to purity and purification and consecration and sanctification. Everything that God touched, He purified. Amen? And everything that was to be used in worship was to be purified because it was used for a holy, noble purpose. And everything that was tangible and was an article of the temple is now part of who we are. We are to be holy, consecrated, reserved, set apart for holy and noble purposes. One could say that God seems a bit obsessive about purity. Huh? If God has an obsession, it's your purity and mine. He will do whatever it takes to clean up a heart. He will send whatever power we need to help us make it possible in our life. Ceremonial cleansing of all the articles of the temple was a beautiful reality in the Old Testament. And more than ceremonial cleansing is a true cleansing of the heart that happens today through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I remember the old hymn, "Hallelujah, what a Savior, who can take a poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay, and set him free." I will ever tell the story, shouting, "Glory, glory, glory, hallelujah, Jesus rescued me." Then there's another old gospel song that says, "He takes my black sin, washes it with his red blood, and makes me whiter than snow." I pray that that's a reality for all of us today as we have come to him in this worship service today. See, he not only desires that we are attending, but that we are participating, amen, in our heart. Not only is purity from God, but also it is a high calling. It's a high calling by God on us to be holy, to be pure as he is. Leviticus 20:26 says, "You are to be holy to me, because I, the Lord your God, am holy, and I have set you apart from the nations to be mine, to be my own." 1 Peter 1:16 says, "Be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy." You see, Jesus is calling his people, people like you and me. He's calling us right here this morning to live with God in full view. That on Monday morning, you're seeing God. And in all of the difficult situations in life, you're seeing his hand work. And you're not focused on the problem. You're focused on what God is doing to bring you through. Amen? To do that, we must live in purity, because we've got to live in full power. This life is bigger than we are. There's so much going on that's bigger than us. And if we're living at half power or half throttle, we're going to get covered over. I was sharing with Rod this morning. There were a few things that happened this week that kind of buried me emotionally. But this morning, Bill and Steve, in prayer and in conversation, kind of lifted me up. And I thank God for that. It takes that. It takes that. Seeing God, restoring our vision to who he is, instead of, "Oh no, here's this big problem. Now what do we do?" Remember the old Rich Mullins song, "Everywhere I go, I see you"? Everywhere I go, I see you. Elizabeth Barrett Browning, the poet, said, "Earth is crammed with heaven." I love that. "And every bush is aflame with God. But only those who see take their shoes off." So why is God's standard so high? We look at the word holiness and we look at the word purity and we look at the quagmire of stuff floating around us and we're like, is it even possible for us to be holy as he is holy? And how could he put this high requirement on my life? Well, his standard is high because of the quality of life that he has created us to live. He doesn't want us to miss it. Amen? He created us to be in fellowship with him. Unbroken fellowship. Amen, Jason? And as we live in that fellowship, we're walking in the light as he is in the light. Let's look at 1 Peter 1:5. Or 1 Timothy 1:5. Sorry, Brad. Gave him a heart attack back there. The goal of this command is love. To be pure, to be holy. Which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Why does he want us to be holy? Because he wants us to experience the best in life. He wants us to experience what it is to live in fellowship with him. This love that will run you crazy until you find him. Good conscience, sincere faith. Purity is a high calling, and he calls us to a purity of heart. But what is that? Well, 1 Timothy links a pure heart to a good conscience and a sincere faith. How you doing? How's your conscience lately? How's your faith lately? These are indicators. Has your conscience been pricked and said, wait a minute, you just did something that kind of went against the grain? We got to listen to those, right? Because if we ignore those, we begin to get inundated by junk again. And we're not living up to what God has called us to live. And we begin to lose perspective. We begin to lose sight of who he is. A pure heart is when God has your heart. A pure heart is when God has your heart. We believe here at Living Well Church that the heart is the center of the being. That all of our emotions and all of our relationships and all of everything else is centered in the heart. So you see, if God doesn't have your heart and you give him all your money, God says, what good is it? If you gain the whole world, you lose your soul. And he said to the rich young ruler, he said, yeah, you've obeyed all the commandments, but in this case, he said, sell all you have and give it to the poor. That's where his heart was. And the man went away sad because, why? He wasn't willing to clean the lenses and live up to what God had been calling him to live up to. If God has your heart, here it is. If God has your heart, he has all of you. Amen? I'm so thankful to be married to a woman that has my heart. Now, I'm a man of God. In other words, I'm in relationship with him. I'm just like anybody else, though. I make mistakes. I stumble and fall. But being in relationship with people, we begin to get a sense of how beautiful it is when you can laugh together, cry together, hurt together, have fun together, rejoice. And just as those marriages can hopefully resemble the relationship that you have with God, God says, I want that with you. I want you to know that I am here for you. I will laugh with you. The things that make you laugh, make him laugh too. The things that make him weep, make you weep too. That connection, that relationship. If he has your heart, he has all of you. Does he have your heart this morning? So how do we obtain a pure heart? Well, you got to work really hard for it. No. Well, yeah. Wait a minute. Let's make sure our theology is correct. How do you obtain a pure heart? Well, you can't work for it. It begins with repentance. Because you see, the problem that I have with sin, I can't fix. Only Jesus, through his shed blood for me, can fix the sin problem in my life. Because of the sins that I've committed against a holy God, I am, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. I have the death penalty on me. But Jesus took that on him when he died on the cross. And because he took my death penalty, I am saved, but I'm also made clean. When he sees me, and when he sees you, he doesn't see the sin. He sees the blood of his Son that purifies us from all unrighteousness. Amen. He can take my black sin, wash it with his red blood, and make me whiter than snow. As I stand before him today, I'm clean, not because of what I've done and all of my work and all of my effort to be clean, but I'm clean because of his blood shed for me. Amen. How do we obtain a pure heart? It begins with repentance. And it continues with consecration and sanctification. You see, God does only what he can do. There's no way we can save ourselves. But we also have a role in following him. That's why Jesus said, "Be holy, as I, the Lord your God, am holy. Be perfect and follow me." You see, it's possible for Christians to be saved from their sins of the past and still living an impure life. If you've been a Christian for a little while, you know what that struggle is. You remember coming to God in prayer and saying, "Lord, would you take all the sins of my life that have created the death penalty on me? Would you cleanse me from all of those sins that I've committed?" And he does. And he forgives us. And we walk in purity and newness of life. And we're as saved as we'll ever be. But then we begin on Monday morning to realize a struggle going on in our life. Some of the desires that we had that created the sin in the first place, we're still struggling with. We're still fighting God. Sin of pride. Did you know that Jesus wants to deal with that too? And at the very heart level, he says, "Let me purify you from that heart of pride that produces the sin. Let me give you a heart of humility." That's our role when we come to God and say, "Lord, thank you for taking all of my sins away. Now, Lord, would you cleanse me of the original sin that I was born with, the sin of Adam, that desire to struggle against God, that desire to fight against God. And Lord, would you resolve my will once and for all to stop fighting and say, Lord, your will be done, not mine. May your will be done." That has huge implications, doesn't it, in our lives? It affects every aspect of our life. It affects our relationships, our careers, our school, our job, our plans for the future. "Not my will, but thine be done." That's sanctification. That's purity at the deepest level, where God takes the article and he sets it aside for a holy and noble purpose, to not only reserve a place in heaven for you, but to live here and now in his will. That's sanctification. That's what we're talking about on Wednesday nights. It's a scarlet thread woven throughout all of Scripture. Be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy. I will do it in you, and it's only possible through his power. But we have a part to play in that too. It's obedience. And it's a surrender of our will The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Purity is not taking what's not yours. I remember working at a watermelon patch in St. Ann, Illinois. I worked on a vegetable farm the year of the drought, 1988, when we were going to college. And those watermelons were like $6 a piece. We'd load them on the truck and take them into Chicago early, like 2:30 in the morning. And we'd stop at White Castle's and load up on White Castle burgers. Can anybody hear what I'm talking about? At 3:30 in the morning and set up those tables and get that wad of cash out there and start doing the street vending. Well, those throwing them watermelons off the truck, it was an amazing experience. I loved it. But working in that watermelon patch, one day I was clear out on the other end of the field. I could still see the road, but I was working weeding that far end of the field, and I seen a car stop, and I seen somebody jump out of their car and come out in the watermelon field and pick a watermelon and get back in their car and leave. I was like, I just saw a watermelon theft. Reminds me of a little story that a father had his son in the car, and they were both hungry for watermelon as they were driving past a watermelon patch. And the father jumped out of the car, and he got a watermelon, and he told his son back in the car, he says, "Watch and see, look both ways if anybody's coming." And he had the watermelon. And the son yelled out of the window and said, "Shouldn't we look up too?" Purity of heart is not having to look up. It's already knowing what God says. How do you know that you're ready to receive a pure heart? Well, quite frankly, you get so sick of sin that it nauseates you. You get so sick of the old life patterns that ran so deep in you before salvation. And then you begin to see God's plan for you, and you begin to see where you're actually at, and you're like, the greed and the lust and the covetousness and the pride is nauseating to me. Lord, take it away from me. I don't want that anymore. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of living in this garbage heap of my mind. I'm ready to get off this perpetual sin machine and stop buying the lie that just because I'm human, I have to sin right now. I'm ready to get off, Lord. I'm ready by your Holy Spirit that you would give me the power to not click there, to say no, that the Holy Spirit would say, I will give you the power. And as I give you the purity, you're going to have a hunger and a thirst to see me like you've never experienced before. And I'm going to give you a purity that when you slip on those corrective lenses of purity and you see me, it's going to become the driving passion of your life, because you begin to see everything for how God designed it and how he created you to live. Amen? Woo. Don't miss this. C.S. Lewis wrote, "It's safe to tell the pure in heart that they will see God, because really only the pure in heart want to." Now, having a pure heart does not mean that you won't have personality glitches that won't drive people crazy around you. It doesn't mean that you will be perfect in the sense of God perfect, but it does mean that given the fact that you're living in a sin-warped world, it means that with a clean heart, you're living up to everything that God has for you. Amen? It means when God says walk there, you're walking there. This pen that I have in my pocket, in a sense, is perfect because it's fulfilling the purpose for which it was designed. Some of the writing is rubbing off. This is Rick's Plumbing from Forreston, Illinois. He worked in the barber shop a little bit this week. Great guy. It's perfect because it's fulfilling the function for which it was created. When Jesus says, be perfect as your Heavenly Father's perfect, he's saying, I want you to live up to the function for which you've been created, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. John Wesley's take on this, Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, he said, the pure in heart are those whose hearts God hath purified, even as he is pure, who are purified through faith in the blood of Jesus from every unholy affection, who being cleansed from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfect holiness in the loving fear of God. They are, through the power of his grace, purified from pride by the deepest poverty of spirit, from anger, from every unkind or turbulent passion, by meekness and gentleness, from every desire but to please and enjoy God, to know and love him more and more, and by that hunger and thirst after righteousness, now which engrosses their whole soul, so that now they love the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, and with all their strength. Sow a thought and reap an act. Sow an act and reap a habit. Sow a habit and reap a character. Sow a character and reap a destiny. Let's remember that our standard is not who's sitting next to us for what holiness is and purity is. Amen? That just messes us all up. Luke 18 says, to some who are confident of their own righteousness and look down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple and prayed, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, God, I am thankful that I'm not like other people, men, other robbers, evildoers, swindlers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector here. I fast twice a week and I even give a tenth of all that I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance and he would not even look up into heaven, but he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God, because everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Well, it's true that man's tendency is to set a standard of holiness based on the failures of others. We are inclined to judge ourselves by the worst instead of the best. Well, at least I'm better than he is. Let's take that logically for a little while. If each man said, at least I am better than he is, and that man said, as he looked around and realized who he was, at least I am better than he is, and that man looked around and realized what an awful problem he had with sin and looked around and said, at least I am better than he is, before long, the standard would be the worst, rottenest man on earth. God says, I've got a better way. I want you to see me. And that'll change your life. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. I'd like to invite our worship team to come on up. A pure heart is a perfect heart, is a forgiven heart. It's a heart that has been cleansed by the purifying blood of Jesus Christ. A pure heart is one that is in a relationship with God, that repents of sin and seeks inward holiness. Purity of heart cleanses the eyes of the soul so that God becomes visible. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Would you pray with me? It's in moments like these, Lord, that we become aware of the dirt on the lenses. As we catch a glimpse of your holiness, it is a powerful, beautiful infusion of your grace, reminding us of who you are. It's also a powerful revelation of who we are. But Lord, you have invited us not to become discouraged about the problems that we face or even the flaws in our character, but that you are working all things together for your glory, and that you have in mind for us what even goes beyond our imagination to work in us and through us your glory. So Lord, in these moments, in a time of personal inventory, a time of prayerful reflection by your Holy Spirit, we ask you, Lord, to remove the sin. Remove, Lord, the clutter that crowds you out of our vision. Remove the dirt. Remove the corruption. Remove the deepest root of our striving against you. That purity is not just a word to us, but it is a reality made possible by your Holy Spirit at work in us. Lord, we come as a body of faith, realizing our need for repentance this morning. Realizing our need for sanctification. Your cleansing of our will that has long sought to fight against you now is resolved to lay down our weapons and agree with you and say yes to your values living in and through us, and to live in holiness, not through our own effort, but by your Holy Spirit in us. We say yes, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. In Jesus' name, amen.